God, I thank you for your presence. I thank you that you are here in this room, Lord. I pray this morning, God, that you will open our hearts and we will have hearts and ears available to hear what you are wanting to speak to us today, Lord. I thank you that you love us. You want to teach us, you want to train us, and you want to transform us. So God, I believe this morning that your word can do that in our hearts and in our lives to leave us not the same, but better as we walk out of this place. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. So, I just want to remind you as well, before we jump in this morning, you can find all of our notes on our church app as well, so you can make use of those. All the scriptures will be on there. I like your hair, Ruth. Looks beautiful. I thought, who's that new person here? And then I realized, it's Ruth. That looks great. Well done. So if you're taking notes this morning, the title of my message is Get Dressed. Can someone say Get Dressed? Get Dressed. Awesome. I know everyone hates when people say that, apparently, according to Pastor Rob, but I don't mind repeating. I think it's fun. So get dressed. So we're going to be talking about three main points this morning. Number one, how are you getting dressed? Number two, dressed differently. And thirdly, dressed for every season. So what are you wearing today? I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit guilty when it comes to checking the weather. I love to check the weather. Every single morning, pretty much, I go on the weather app and I look at the forecast for today. And I think, oh, it's rainy, cool. It's sunny, cool. And in my mind, that's just subconsciously in my mind every single day. Is it going to be hot, cold, windy, rainy? What's the day going to look like? I like to know the weather conditions so I know how to dress for the day, so I can dress accordingly and appropriately for the weather. Sometimes, even before I go to sleep at night, I'll check the weather forecast for tomorrow so I can think overnight, what am I going to wear tomorrow? Do I want to wear long jeans, long pants? I don't know. I just love knowing what the weather is. My clothes are determined by the weather, by the temperature and the conditions. I also like to think about what I'm going to be doing for that day. And I plan, oh, if I'm going to be at home, I want to be warm, I can wear my trackies. If I go out, I want to look maybe a little bit nicer, so maybe I won't wear my trackies. If it's a weekday, I'll wear my work uniform because that's where I'm going. If it's the morning time and I think, oh, I really want to exercise, I'll put on my exercise clothes and I'll do that. Or if I'm going to a wedding, I'll choose to dress in a bit more fancy clothes because I'm dressing according to the occasion. There's a certain dress code whether you realize it or not. If it's cold, you wear a jacket. If it's hot, you wear something a little bit more summery. It's the same with this morning. I decided based on the weather conditions, what I'm going to wear and what I'm going to be doing helped me get dressed. Every morning when I get ready, I think about, yay, it's time for me to get dressed again. I get excited about that because I love getting dressed. And maybe you're thinking, Claire, what does this have to do with anything? You're talking about all this dressing. Let me tell you, just like we have a choice in what we wear physically, we also must be intentional in what we're wearing spiritually. God has been encouraging me recently and really just speaking to me about what am I clothing myself in every single day to protect me spiritually? What have I got on to protect myself? And if anything today, I'm actually just talking to myself and I'm encouraging myself to get dressed again. So my first point this morning, how are you getting dressed? One thing I know about physical and spiritual clothing is they both keep you protected. That is their purpose, to keep your body protected. Physically, I wear shoes because then if I step on a rock or a stick or something, it protects my foot. Then my foot's not going to get injured because something's on it keeping it protected. Or if I'm going to be doing some gardening, which I never do, by the way, I'm just saying as an example, if I was going to do some gardening, I would probably wear long pants because I don't want shrubs to scratch on my legs and cause me pain. It's there to protect me. And it's the same spiritually when we have to get dressed to be protected in the spirit. And Ephesians 6:10 to 13 tells us why. It says, "For a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the enemy. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." We need to be protected against the enemy's evil schemes, the evil rulers and the authorities that try to attack us. Spiritually, we need protection from that. Does anyone agree? Yes, awesome. Ephesians 6, 13 to 18 tells us how to get dressed and what to wear. It says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, not just some of it, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of this, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Every single day, we need to put on our spiritual armor to be fully protected so we can stand firm against every strategy that the enemy has against us. The truth is, the enemy wants you to be weak. He wants you to be unprotected, and he wants you to be fearful so that he can destroy you, beat you down, tear you down, because he wants to sever and destroy our relationship with God. That's his only purpose. He has no new tricks. He lies, steals, brings confusion, disrupts us mentally, physically, and spiritually. The enemy does no good thing. John 10:10 says the thief, being the enemy, his only purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want to help you. He wants to hurt you. So we need to get dressed in the armor of God every single day so we can stand strong against the enemy. It's important that we put on the belt of truth because the enemy's greatest weapon is lie. He lies to us. The enemy speaks lies while God speaks the truth. The enemy speaks in a way that brings confusion. The lies cause disunity, division, and he twists the truth. It's important we know how to put on the belt of truth. We need to ask God, God, give me wisdom today. Give me discernment to hear your voice above every lie that the enemy is speaking. And trust me, the enemy will speak, but we need to pray and believe that God's voice is the loudest and clearest in our ear every single day. The enemy's oldest trick in the book is lying. So believe that he's going to try to lie to you. The lies of the enemy are actually consistent through scripture as well. We see in Genesis 3, Eve gets lied to in the Garden of Eden. The enemy poses a question to Eve, making her question God and convincing her to sin against God. It says in Genesis 3, verse 1 to 6, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals that God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say that you must not eat from the fruit of any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it or you'll die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that that tree was beautiful and its fruit looked so delicious. She wanted the wisdom it would give her, so she took some fruit and ate it. Eve believed the lie of the enemy and convinced her to go against God. And I sometimes think, I wonder if I was in Eve's position, what would I do? Because I think our natural response would be, oh, we'll trust God and we wouldn't eat the fruit. But in reality, we need to be humble enough every single day to realize that the enemy will still lie to you and deceive you and try to convince you to go against God's voice. So I need the belt of truth on me every single day. And when I put it on, I'm declaring the truth of God. I'm declaring what God says is true, and it will be the loudest and clearest in my ear every single day. So put on your belt. The next thing, put on the breastplate of righteousness. The enemy tries to undermine and destroy our relationship with God, making us believe that we're not right with God. Again, the enemy is lying, saying things like, you are not loved by God. You could never be forgiven from God. He's not going to forgive that. And sometimes the sad thing is we actually believe that. But the good news is, through the blood of Jesus, we have been reconciled to God. Through Jesus, we have been made righteous in God's sight. Romans 3, verse 25 to 24 says this, for everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. So we put on the breastplate of righteousness, declaring that we are in right standing with God. We put on the shoes of peace. When you're wearing the wrong shoes, physically, you'll become a bit injured. I think Bernard would know this because he's a foot doctor, so he would know. If I'm not going to go out for a run in my boots, and I'm not going to decide to go for a lovely stroll in a pair of flippers or something because it's not good for my feet, and I'm not effective, am I? Does anyone agree? You're ineffective. We need to ensure that we're wearing the right shoes, being the gospel of peace. The enemy wants to steal your peace, leaving you fearful, worried, afraid, and filled with anxiety. When we don't have the shoes of peace on, the truth is we become crippled and consumed with fear, and we get consumed with anxiety. The enemy has a hold on you, and we become distracted, we become distraught, and we're actually disabled from building the kingdom of God if we don't have the right shoes on, because everything else is consuming us, not the peace that comes from God. But Jesus, the Prince of Peace, leaves us with the gift of peace. It says this in John 14, verse 27, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Put on the shoes of peace and let the peace of God consume your heart. Let it be the forefront of your mind. Let peace be on your feet wherever you go. Despite your situation, walk with the shoes of peace. Next, carry the shield of faith. The shield of faith protects us and covers our most vulnerable parts, especially our heart. The shield of faith is strong enough to withstand the impact of the fiery arrows that the enemy is aiming to hurt us and aiming to destroy us. No matter what the enemy uses to attack us, we need to lift up our shield and have it ready to protect us. Let those assaults bounce off your shield. Don't let them destroy you. Psalm 33 verse 20 says, we put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. We choose to put our hope in God. In all circumstances, we choose to pick up our shield, knowing it will protect us. Next, put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation protects your mind and your thinking. And it's so interesting that how many people are so affected by mental health these days. And I truly think that if we put on our helmet of salvation, that those things don't have a place in our mind anymore. The enemy comes when our mind is left unprotected. The enemy comes when our mind is open. So we put on the helmet of salvation because it covers our mind, it covers our thoughts, and prevents the enemy from flooding our minds with bad ideas, with fear and with anxiety. We put on the helmet of salvation because salvation redeems us, restores us and protects us from the enemy's schemes. Keep your mind protected. It says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, we take captive of every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So if it's not from God, say goodbye. It doesn't have a place in your mind anymore. It doesn't deserve a place in your mind. So daily, put on your helmet of salvation to protect your mind from the enemy. And the sword of the Spirit. When the enemy is attacking us, we have to fight back with the sword of the Spirit. The enemy aims to confuse you, scare you, and intimidate you, hoping that in the midst of this battle you're standing in, that you'll forget what God's word says. So no matter what lie the enemy is whispering to your mind, don't accept it or believe it. Instead, use the word of God to declare and claim the truth and promises of God over your life. It's so important that we know and understand the word of God. We remember scripture, we meditate on it, we let it change our hearts. So then in the time of need, we can then declare it over our situation, declare it over our life and use that to fight back against the enemy. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Use the sword of the Spirit to stand against and fight the lies of the enemy. Finally, be persistent in prayer. The enemy tries to silence us because he wants us to be disconnected from God. He wants to try to keep our voices quiet. So we need to understand the power of prayer. It's how we communicate with God. The enemy wants you to be quiet so you're less alert, so you're unprepared for his attacks. So it's essential we allow God to prepare us, and we do that by talking with him and letting him talk to us. So we need to be persistent in prayer, meaning we're always praying and constantly listening. Isaiah 55 verse 3 says, come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. So come to God with your ears open. Pray and listen for his response. Because we are much more vulnerable when we are without God's armor. We need to declare over our lives that we are dressed to win. We're dressed for victory and we're dressed to stand against the enemy. And I just want to read something to you this morning that I don't know if you've ever heard of Pastor Jemima Varughese from Kingdom City Church, but 2 years ago at Youth Alive, she spoke a message and she had this dress code that she gave us as a resource. And I just want to read it out to you. I stick this on my wardrobe. So every morning when I'm getting ready for the day, I can read through it and I can declare this over my life. But it's not just words on a page. It's actually something that I believe is powerful. And so it says this: as I get ready for today, I will be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I put on the full armor of God so that I can take a stand against the enemy's schemes. Today will be a good day. I renounce any lies that I have believed and declare they must all fall to the ground. I announce that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So now I put on the belt of truth. I confess and repent of any known and unknown sins hidden in my heart. And I ask you, Lord, to make me clean. Holy Spirit, please reveal to me if I've let my guard down or weakened your armor over my heart. Now I put on the breastplate of righteousness and declare that I'm now standing right with my God. I put on the shoes of the gospel of peace and declare that I stand on the solid rock of my salvation. Lord, would you bring someone across my path that I can share the good news with today? I take with me the shield of faith to declare the arrows of the enemy disintegrated and ask, Lord, for you to grow my capacity for more faith. Make my shield as strong as it can be and may unbelief be far from me. I submerge my mind in the mind of Christ and put on the helmet of salvation. Should there be any doubt, remove it now, Lord. And I thank you that I'm saved through grace because of what you did on the cross, not by my works, so I cannot boast. Finally, I pick up the sword of the Spirit with the power of the Holy Spirit to slash and destroy any assault of the enemy against me or my loved ones. I declare I'm the head and not the tail. Holy Spirit, make my sword sharper, stronger, and more accurate against the enemy that we wrestle. Be the loudest voice in my ear today, Holy Spirit, as I continue to fulfill my life's purpose and destiny. Now I'm dressed for victory. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this because it's not just words. It's not just me saying something. It comes from scripture. And I get to declare that over my life, that I'm dressed differently because of who I am in God. And I need to be protected against the things of the bad and evil spirit. My second point today is dress differently. Your clothes set you apart spiritually. I love the story in Daniel 3 where we learn about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three men who had something different on their life. They were dressed differently. They were clothed differently, enabling them to stand strong when everybody else around them was weak and conforming. They were called to be different and their clothes set them apart. Despite the pressure we may experience as believers, we're not like everybody else. We're dressed differently. So we can be encouraged to stand strong and not conform like others are. And I'll let you read in your own time, Daniel 3 verse 1 to 7. And it talks about this king called King Nebuchadnezzar, and he makes this gold statue and he says, everyone has to come and worship my statue. As soon as all this music starts playing, you have to worship my statue. And so people come. And that's what happens. Everyone decides, okay, just because they're telling me to do it, I'll have to do it. Out of fear and out of the conforming culture, everyone followed the king's command. No one thought for themselves and no one questioned anything. They simply followed because everybody else was. But not these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They thought for themselves and they knew that they didn't have to bow down to the king's command because they were dressed in something different. What they had on their life set them apart. When you know God, he dresses you differently and he calls you to be set apart, to not copy and not conform. Romans 12 verse 2 says this, don't copy the behavior or customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. God has a plan and purpose for your life. He hasn't called you to be the same as everybody else. He hasn't called you to conform, but to live your life set apart. When we're set apart and called, we get prepared with faith as well. We live in trust and conviction. And that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They lived with conviction and it separated them from the normal. It separated them from everybody else and their conviction carried them through to their victory. It's a similar world that we live in today. There are so many voices in the media, in our schools, in our sporting teams, in our workplaces, in our homes. There are opinions, different views, different ideas, so many things that can overwhelm our thinking. But when we know the truth of what God says, everything else sounds unattractive. When we're dressed and clothed in the things of God, we're able to identify God's voice and we're able to listen, understand, and respond to his voice. God wants you to be clothed differently, clothed in conviction, truth, authority, and faith. And that's how these three men lived, clothed to stand against the enemy. And it says they were thrown into a blazing furnace because they didn't want to follow what everyone else was doing, because they didn't want to conform. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused. They would rather be thrown into the fire than worship a gold idol. And nothing can change their mind or convince them otherwise, because they were clothed with conviction, truth, authority, and faith. And the king was upset. And the truth is, when you live your life with conviction, you're going to upset some people. You're going to offend some people. People will want you to bow down or say, come on, just let loose a little bit. Just do, come on, it's not going to affect anything. But we have to be strong enough to stand against those voices of the enemy saying, come on, just do it one time. It won't matter. Nothing's going to happen. But we live our lives differently. We don't glorify or worship worthless idols or the ideas of the world. It's our responsibility to get dressed and be clothed in the truth of what God says. And because of that, they saw their victory. At the end of that scripture, I'm not going to read it, but it says they were thrown into the fire, although the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed and their clothes were not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. They didn't even smell of smoke. What they just walked through didn't even affect them. Nothing was burnt. Nothing was damaged. Nothing was injured or affected, because they were clothed differently. They were clothed believing that in faith, their God was going to come through and save them. Their God is more powerful than even the fire that they were thrown into for their punishment. God came through even in their punishment. And I don't know about you, but I want to be dressed in authority. I want to be dressed in victory, so that when I get punished or whatever that looks like, I don't get affected by the punishment that's trying to be inflicted on me, that I can come out standing stronger in victory because of how I'm dressed with my authority. And my third and final point this morning is get dressed for every season. And I'll invite the musicians up. I love the story of Joseph, and I'm not going to go too deep into it this morning, but I find so much encouragement from the story of Joseph. To be someone who's dressed in every season, to prosper and be successful, and to experience victory and also the favor of God. Joseph was confident in the things of God, and he had an attitude on his life that said, despite what happens, I am dressed for victory. Despite what happens, I know my God is in control. So firstly, Joseph gets sold by his brothers. I don't know about you, but I really hope that my brother would never sell me. That's actually just... it's quite sad, actually. It's quite a sad story. But despite getting sold by his brothers, Joseph still said, I put my trust in God. I want to wear the things that God is calling me to wear. He was dressed for victory. He was dressed knowing that his God is faithful. Then he was brought as a slave and bought by this man called Potiphar. So he was put into his home, and it says, the Lord made Joseph successful in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. And Potiphar noticed that, and he realized that there was something different about Joseph and that caused him to gain success in everything he did. And so Joseph was promoted to see over everything in his master's home. He looked after everything. He was trusted in that. And then... so he was faithful to God in that he was clothed differently and he was trusted. I don't know about you, but I don't think a slave would really ever be trusted in their own master's home. Like, maybe they weren't treated very nicely, or maybe they were kind of the scum. They didn't really get the authority. But Joseph was a different slave. He was different because of what he had on his life, and the favor of God was upon him. That meant he was different. And then Joseph gets falsely accused of sleeping with Potiphar's wife, and he gets put into jail. And so he's thrown into jail, and I think by that point I'd be pretty like, my life sucks. I'm in jail. I've been wrongly accused. I've been sold. You know, my life sucks. But Joseph still had God's favor on his life, which meant he was different. And so he went to jail, and God caused him to succeed even in jail. He was put as the highest prison official or governor or something. He was put as the highest ranking person in prison. Anyway, I don't think a normal prisoner would ever get that kind of opportunity, but even in jail, Joseph was successful. And then Genesis 41. So Pharaoh asked his officials, "Can we find anyone like this man who's so obviously filled with the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. So Joseph was sold by his brothers, purchased by Potiphar, wrongly accused, thrown into jail, and then made ruler over Egypt. Joseph experienced so many different seasons. He went through a lot of different seasons, but in every season, Joseph still remained faithful to God. He still had a different dress code that God gave him, and that was the favor of God on his life. And Joseph had that favor of God with him, and he was dressed for victory and success. So I want to encourage you today. It's so easy to clothe yourselves in the things that the world wants you to wear, like disappointment, anger, shame, guilt, hate, and all these other bad things that the world just wants you to dress in. But we are called to dress differently. We have a different dress code. Colossians 3 verse 12 tells us what to clothe ourselves in. It says, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony." So it's time to change your clothes. It's time to take off the old, the dirty, the broken, the grave clothes, and let God dress you. God wants you to be clothed in beautiful things like kindness, humility, love, gentleness, and patience. That is what sets you apart. That's what makes you dress differently to the world. So choose to dress differently. Maybe today you want to have a new dress code. Maybe God's speaking to you that you need to take some things off your life and let him replace it with some things that are actually going to help and protect you. Maybe you want to live your life a little bit different from today forward, and you want to start your journey of walking with God. There's going to be a prayer on the screen in just a moment that we're going to pray together. And this is just a starting point for you. It's not going to solve all your problems. It's not going to make you, you know, the best person ever in the world, but it's a starting point to say, "God, I want to live my life with you. I want to let you tell me what my dress code has to be. Tell me how to live strong, God." So this prayer this morning, we're going to pray it together, believing that we can be set free in Jesus' name. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross and rose again to forgive my sins. I ask that you forgive me. I give you my life and invite you to be my Lord and Savior. Today, I am born again. I trust my future into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, church. I pray that that word bless you this morning, and be reminded that you need to choose your dress code. You need to dress wisely and appropriately so you can stand strong against what the enemy wants to fire and assault you with. And I'll welcome up Bernard this morning.